This hour is brought to you by New England Kubota Dealers and MB Tractor and Equipment in Tilton, New Hampshire.
Bradford Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open.
I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradford Show.
That's delicious. Man, it's been a while. Oh, that felt good to hear that. It feels good to be back on the air talking the great game of baseball with Brian Barrett. Even though I don't see him right now, what I'm looking at is golf. Golf, golf, golf. And you're looking at Fenway Park. Brian Barrett from Fenway Park, correct, Brian? Metric man?
I am, man.
I am here.
Ready to go. Let's go.
Listen, the Red Sox have made a trade. The Red Sox are a half game in back of the Rays and the Indians in the wild card hunt. This is shaping up to be something else, Brian. Let me tell you. And there's nobody who is bringing out the stats and bringing out the facts and figures more than you. But let's go back to the trade, Brian. And if people want to weigh on the Red Sox for the next couple hours, please do. I'm going to be giving you updates, Brian, about everything. About golf, about baseball, about life, about the whole ball of wax, about podcasting, everything. I'm going to be giving you updates all the live long day. But the first order of business is when you have perhaps the preeminent stat guy in the country and a trade goes down, and you want to find out exactly what was the thought process was when it comes to the Red Sox trading for young James Norwood, or relatively young, 28 years old, young James Norwood for cash considerations, then we turn to Brian. We have the luxury of having this in our family, in our Bradford Show family. Our minor league correspondent is Alex Benellis, an actual minor league player. We got Coop, we got Nate, we got Brian Barrett is going to break it all down. Let's do it.
What do you got? Stats are for losers.
What do you got? Metric man, don't listen to anybody else. Be secure in your own existence. Your Twitter account is a must follow. Your brand has, I say it a lot, your brand has never been hotter. This is absolutely true. Your brand has never been hotter, and today it just became ablaze because your tweet on James Norwood is something that everybody should see. What do you got?
Well, this is what I'll say, first of all, is tell the people at Twitter that, okay? Tell the board, all right? Tell the board that my Twitter account is worth following. It's Brian Barrett on Twitter.
Is this a plea to be verified?
Well, no, it's an aggravation. I don't know why I'm not verified. I asked for verification. They won't verify me. People with way less followers are verified than me, or verified and I'm not.
Well,
but anyway.
Before you go on, I want to. This is what makes this show, we're going to be on with you till 6 o'clock up into the pregame. This is what makes this show so memorable. Because not only do we have Brian Barrett, not only do you have myself, not only are we at the U.S. Open and at Fenway Park and all this historic places and instances, but we have basically what we have is maybe the finest minor league correspondent in the history of WEI producing the show. That would be Ken Laird. So, and Ken Laird also, I don't know if you know this, he... Ken, did you ever win a media star? You won like three media stars.
I came in second place a lot. I never won.
You never won?
No.
Well, you know what?
You know who beat me out once? It's Spear, that SOB who always tried to one-up me in my farm report days.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, you know, who was right at the end of the day? Because all he talked about was Henry Owens.
Right.
And you were...
Where's Henry Owens now, Alex?
You were well ahead of the curve when it came to fill in the blank.
Benintendi. I had the first interview with Andrew Benintendi.
Oh, you had the first Benintendi interview. Yes.
Yeah.
So let me do this before, Brian, you give us the info on James Norwood. And if you want to weigh in, 617-779-7937. Before we get to that, I do want to do this, in all seriousness. I want to give Ken Laird $20 in Bitcoin. I want to name him Employee of the Week because he is not only did his show, he came in to produce, he's leading by example, and his payment not only is a $20 in Bitcoin, but I want Ken, you are going to give me whatever you want on whatever Red Sox topic you choose fit. What do you got?
Well, first of all, I'd like to note I shouldn't be praised for this. It's my own incompetence that leads me here because I forgot to schedule a producer 1-6, and then I couldn't get anybody to do it. So now I'm here.
Well, I mean, nobody need to know that, but that's okay. I'm not
being honest.
I'm not going to go through the history of WEI, but if there has been other screw-ups and there hasn't been other people who have filled in for the screw-ups like you are filling for your screw-up today.
Yeah.
So gradually, I don't know if that's a praise or what.
You.
But I do feel like it is great that you're with us because you've done – I feel like we've done a baseball show together at some point,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, we've done a few, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, this is – I know that you're probably tired. It's a long day. Now the adrenaline rush of talking the great game of baseball on the Bradford Show. What do you got?
Well, I just – this is like – this is baseball 101. But last night felt a little different. I thought they were going to blow it, and they didn't. That's it. Simple. This Red Sox team has progressed. They would have blown that game a couple of months ago. They didn't last night. I'm not convinced that Hauk is the closer, but I'm intrigued. That's all I got.
All right. And I did say this. I wrote this. I put this pen to paper that, you know, this was a win against a good team. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what you need to know.
And a good pitcher, Rob.
Against a good pitcher, a pitcher who was rolling Adam Wainwright. And, by the way, the Michael Wacha thing, I think after last night, it can't be perceived as, oh, the Martin Perez, you had a good month and a half, right? I mean, Michael Wacha is a real deal. Michael Wacha is punching his ticket to Los Angeles for the All-Star game. I think he has the seventh best ERA of all American League starters, and that might not seem like much, but it is because there's a lot of good pitchers in the American League this year. So this was a big deal last night. But also, flash forward to today, we want to pay off on the tees. The Red Sox, knowing they're in it, this is the sign that they know they're in it. They made a trade. They're
Let's
being aggressive.
Go Red Sox.
They're
Let's
being,
go
they're
Red be, Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
They're being aggressive. They're being aggressive.
They are. And this is what I'll say, Rob. So before we get into some about James Norwood, I just want to mention the fact that I like the fact that the Red Sox are being somewhat aggressive here. Not to say this is any sort of radical move that's going to alter your future plans, but I do believe that what is going to happen, and you know how this goes, because it's Heim Bloom, there is going to be a criticism that, oh, look at his ERA, which, by the way, you shouldn't look at a reliever's ERA. That's a whole different thing. But you get the point. People are going to say, oh, they traded for this guy that stinks. Well, they did the same thing with Hansel Robles last year. If you remember, in Minnesota, his numbers were absolutely atrocious. And what did the Red Sox give up for James Norwood, Rob?
Cash.
Okay. So that is the definition of a big market move. It brings me back to what transpired in the offseason with Jackie Bradley Jr., where what happened was people that were anti-Bloom critiquers, if you will, people that wanted to attack Heim Bloom said, well, they're trading for Jackie Bradley Jr. when Hunter Renfroe's a better player. Well, first of all, they're actually paying Jackie Bradley Jr. more money than Hunter Renfroe because they bought your buddy, who you just mentioned earlier, Alex Benellis. They bought the prospect, right? That actually is, if you don't plan on signing Hunter Renfroe long-term, that which they didn't. He's 30 this year. They didn't want to sign him long-term. That actually is a big market move. Now, I'm not saying that this is a move, Rob, James Norwood, that puts you over the top. But I like the fact that you say, okay, let's take a flyer. Okay, it's definitely not. I'm not diminishing that his numbers aren't good.
The reality of it, before I'll let you go on in a second, Brian, but the reality is that he could be DFA'd in, like, tomorrow.
He could.
I mean, he's out of options. But, Eddie, go ahead. I don't want to rain on your parade.
My point is this, Rob. You're spending money. You're throwing cash to take a flyer on a guy that has 96, 97 miles an hour on his fastball and some of the advanced metrics tell you, or not the advanced metrics, just the tracking stuff tells you the break on his fastball is really good. People do not make good contact against his splitter. So I don't understand why anybody would be upset. Not that we've seen a lot of backlash or heard it, Rob, but I don't understand why anybody would point to this and say, hey, it's not worth it. Why not? And the other thing I would just mention, Rob, is
they got to
do something as it pertains to just getting more righties in that bullpen. Now, Schreiber was really good last night. I mean, that guy has been awfully impressive. And
eight
I know
mile.
You. Yeah, 8 Mile. You did the podcast with him that this week. But that's obviously been a major thing. But the other thing that I would say is look at who you have to face in your division. Toronto and New York. What do those two teams have in common besides the fact they're just good at offense or they're good offensive clubs? They all mash from the right side. We're talking about Vladdy. We're talking about Gurriel. We're talking about Bo Bichette. We're talking about Judge and Stanton and LeMahieu and Torres, all those guys. I would just like them to put more of an emphasis in getting righties because you're getting a lefty back in Josh Taylor. I want more righties in that pen. So, hey, if it doesn't work out, who the hell cares? You gave up cash for it. It's not my money. But if it works out, then it's a bonus.
There you go. I think that, listen, you got people's blood pumping right now, Brian. You got people really buying into this trade. You have people electric about the Boston Red Sox. So listen, trades are fun, man. Like, I don't care who they're for. Trades are fun. And it also shows you they're trying to do something. And there's, I think that, and this is what I want to get to a little bit later in the show, is, you know, how we should start looking at this. Now we're starting to see sort of these trade candidates, right? You had mentioned Bednar from Pittsburgh, correct?
Absolutely filthy, Rob. I watched his highlights today. The problem is he's
under control through 2032. So,
Rob, this is your point. This is your point. You want consistency out of the bullpen. You want a guy you can depend on. You want certainty, right? How many times have you said that? This is the guy.
Well, at this point, you know, we have to bring this up, and which is, yeah, I want certainty. You have to pay for certainty. That's what my thing is all along. And I do think you're going to have to go out and make a trade. You're going to have to find another arm there. But I will say this, Brian, that some of these guys at this point, and this is the Waka conversation, some of these guys at this point have proven themselves to be pretty close to certainty. I mean, Waka, like, that guy has proven to me enough that you say, all right, you know what, he's going to do this, maybe not at this level the rest of the year, but he's going to be a reliable guy that you don't have to take out of the rotation. And to go to the bullpen to talk about these relievers, a guy like John Schreiber, at this point, what has he pitched, 19 times, and all but one, he's not given up a run? I mean, it's crazy. And so at this point, you have to kind of say, all right, you got Schreiber. All right, I'm going to give Matt Strom, congratulations to the Strom family. You get to be in the bullpen as well for the rest of the year. All right, Tanner Houck, we'll see the signs, but I don't think you can say that's absolutely the closer. You haven't figured that out absolutely that you have the closer in Tanner Houck, but hey, listen, it's still June. This is the time to figure that out. Austin Davis, tough outing last night, but you know what? That's okay.
Oh, that was bad, Rob. I know that's your guy, but that was horrible.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, that was his first bad outing. That was Big Fudge's first bad outing,
yeah.
Right?
Inopportune time.
Oh, well, okay. Anyway. All right, there's a lot to get to.
Come on, Fudge!
There you go. See? See, I give Ken a little compliment. He talks a little baseball, and all of a sudden, he's got his A game. I mean, like, the blood is – Ken, you have to tell. The blood is pumping
right
now.
I love talking baseball, Rob.
I remember when you said J.D. Martinez would never play the outfield 5 years ago.
I mean, I should have been right about that. Unfortunately, they didn't take my advice.
I mean, you were right this year, finally. I mean, there you go. 617-779-7937. We get a lot to talk to. It's great to talk with Brian Barrett, with Ken, with everybody, with all the callers, all the regulars. Great to be back with the Bradfoe Show. Once again, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, please do. We had John Schreiber on the last one. We had, obviously, Mookie Betts last week. I have one big one talking with Brian Barrett's guy, Josh Winkowski. You all right, Brian?
Don't get me started on him. I mean, that was an unbelievable performance the other day, Rob.
Well,
have you heard my comparison? Should we tease it?
Yeah, let's tease it. And by the way, you're in luck because he's going to pitch again Monday. All right, we'll talk some more Winkowski. We'll get to the calls. See you all lined up. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with a trending, and in that trending, I will have a U.S. Open update.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The warm weather is here, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is saying, screw it, let's shoot it. Lick the salt, shoot the screwball, and finish with an orange slice. Lick it, shoot it, screw it. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Please enjoy responsibly. You can tune in to WEEI this Red Sox season as we broadcast live from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio before Red Sox weekend home games. It's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, official truck of the Red Sox. I'm here right now as we're getting you ready for the second of this three-game set tonight between the Cardinals and the Red Sox. Of course, the Sox took the opener of the series last night, 6-5. Got a little too close for comfort there. Michael Wacha went 6-3. He gave up one earned. And at 7:15 is the first pitch tonight. You can tune into the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 6:15 with yours truly. That's sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Cutter Crawford on the mound in that one. He's opposite Dakota Hudson, who does not strike anybody out. In fact, he's last in Major League Baseball in strikeout rate. So that's good for the Sox. They also made a move today. They traded cash considerations to the Phillies for James Norwood. The number's not pretty, a 190 whip on the season, but his fastball does sit at 96.6 miles per hour. I'm telling you, Rob, the stuff is good. The stuff is good. Game two of the Stanley Cup Final between the Avalanche and the Lightning
Let's
tonight.
Let's go Red Sox!
I don't think Puck drops it. The 8 ERA is very deceiving.
Well, I mean, come on. You can't reference the ERA with a reliever. And actually, Eck has talked about this on multiple occasions. You have one bad outing, you're screwed for a month and a half. By the way, Stanley Cup Final tonight, Avs and Lightning. That starts at 8 o'clock. The Avs have that 1-0 series lead.
And can be heard on WEI AM 850 tonight.
Oh, nice.
The whole Cup Finals.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I'm actually very excited for this Cup. The Athletic is reporting that the two favorites for the Bruins head coaching vacancy are ex-Rangers coach David Quinn, also former BU head coach, and current Kraken assistant Jay Leach. Now, let's send it to Brad Foe for an update from the U.S. Open. Brad Foe.
Well, reporting live from the Country Club, the 122nd U.S. Open Championship, we now have two golfers atop the leaderboard, but not the same two we started the day with. Colin Morikawa, he is still there. He's shooting even for the day, but a new guy has moved up. Aaron Wise is 5 under along with Morikawa. So now you have those two, and then two other guys behind them, Scheffler and Damon. Damon, who obviously started the day at top. Zalatoris, whose guy? Is that Will Fleming's guy? Zalatoris?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. So Will Zalatoris is making a move a little bit. So a lot going on here. Everybody out on the course. So things are setting up for a very, very tight race. And you can follow all of it, all the updates right here in WEI. And, of course, our golf coverage is sponsored by Meiomi, the official wine of the PGA Tour, and Zingaroo. Zingaroo allows you to trade, chat, and compete with friends all in one app. Join now and get started with $25 on us.
Now, we're right back to it. The Brad Foe Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to the Brad Foe Show. Rob Bradford along with Brian Barrett and Ken Laird. We're talking great game of baseball. I just happen to be at the Country Club where the U.S. Open Championship has been taking place because Jackie Bradley's here. Or he was here. I hope he's not here anymore. I hope he's back at the confines of Fenway Park getting ready for the game. Brian Barrett's holding down the fort at Fenway Park. He'll be with you on the pregame show. We'll be all the way up till 6 o'clock until the aforementioned pregame show. But, Brian, we have to talk about Winkowski. I understand. Can you just hold on a second to talk about Winkowski? Can you do that?
Sure.
Please?
And we got to talk about Story at some point as well.
Oh, my. Of course.
Alex Cora's comments last night.
Yeah, I mean, was he deflecting or was he being serious or was he wanting to get the message out? I mean, there's a lot to pick through with those comments with Trevor Story. And I know that you used it as your jumping off point after the game last night, correct?
I did, yes. I thought that was his walk-off too, Rob. I loved it.
Yeah, well, Cora's a smart guy.
You wrote a story about it.
I did. Well, when someone says they're in the best
no
in baseball
pun intended.
Okay. Can I get my $20 of Bitcoin back, please? When someone says that somebody is the best in all of baseball at something, you're going to write a story about it. You're going to talk about it. And we're going to do that. But first, we got to get to our good friend Jeff in Watertown.
So, Rob.
There you go. Jeff, what's going on? How you doing, Jeff? Good to hear from you again. It's been a long time.
Bradford, you've been the one that's been on the road, it's good to have you back in town.
Oh, Nashville, Oakland, San Francisco, Chicago, Springfield.
Back to Chicago just to see Mookie, just unbelievable.
Yep.
And I have to say that hearing Brian Barrett read that lick it, chew it, screw it drop is worth the price of admission. You really got to see. You got to see if you can get those
Ken loves his list. Ken, you love the list. You love the power rankings. Can we do the power rankings of who does that read the best?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Courtney, of course.
She wins it by default. Anyway, I just first of all, I agree with Brian. The Norwood deal is, it's something. I mean, I'm still trying to figure Chaim Bloom out, and one of the things that I've been saying about him is the question of his timing, because, you know, we talk about baseball as being a sport about timing, when not how many hits you get, but when you get them. And the one thing about him is, like, I want to know, like, when is he going to make moves? When does he see it's time to do something? And I'm talking about, like, boosting the major league roster and supporting the players. You know, bringing guys up is good from the minors and giving them a chance. And I really like what's been going on the last couple of weeks with that. I think, you know, we've been winning and breaking in some young players. But at some point, you got to go out and make a move that says to the veterans, you know, we're in this and we believe in this team. And so doing something, you know, I mean, I thought the Carpenter thing, I still, you know, would have been a good move. I don't understand the Mitch Moreland thing still. I thought that would have been something easy. I realize that people aren't trading as quickly because everybody's in it. But, you know, I just, you know, so to me, it's a good thing that he did something.
Yeah,
you know, I don't see any problem with
Jeff,
that.
Jeff, I was thinking about this today. Think about how fortunate they've got. Not fortunate, but I mean, they have to develop these guys. But two key pieces, which they certainly didn't count on, who have been saving graces for them. That is John 8 Mile Schreiber and also Franchi Cordell. Because right now, by now, we thought that Tristan Cassis would be up and he would be the left-handed complement. And obviously, he's not even playing because of the ankle injury. But you have Franchi Cordero. I mean, Franchi Cordero has stepped in and been – he hasn't been unbelievable. And Brian's about to he's champing at the bit to basically talk about the hard hit rate, the barreling and everything else for Franchi. Fine. But he's been good enough. And if you don't have him, you really don't have that complement to Dalbec. So those two guys are guys that we didn't expect to have any part of this, and they've been huge, huge guys.
And it's been, you know, Franchi's energy, and then Duran, the same thing. Like, you know, watching them run, like, there is something exciting just in that. You feel, you know, when you've got some speed on the team, you just feel like you have a better chance of scoring. And it's just, you know, it's so that's been good. I've been so, but again, we can't let the Yankees. Of the four teams in the East that we all thought might improve, the Red Sox, the Tampa Bay, the Yankees, Toronto, I had the Yankees really at the end. I did not think that they could do what they're doing now. I mean, they are far better than I ever expected. And I just can't stand Cashman. We got to be in this. We got to play them in the playoffs. We have to at least, you know, get back there. So I'm hoping that Haim's going to take this, is going to be into this season. And like you were saying earlier with Ken and Curtis, like, we don't know. This is going to be a transformational offseason because a lot of folks are going to be gone, and we're not going to know what to, so this is the time to do it. So I just hope Hyman
is
in all the way.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeff. Maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow. But Jeff brings up a good point, and we mentioned this on the Wiley part of the Ken and Curtis show earlier. Brian, I don't know if you were listening. But it was we were talking about the offseason and how you just simply don't see a team that has this many guys who either have 1 year or last year of their contract, or like Devers, are on the precipice of becoming a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, these are key guys. These are key guys. And so now you're sitting here firmly entrenched in the playoff race. Now you go into the trade deadline. You almost have to go for it, right? I mean, this is...
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the... Yes, that's part of the calculus, is what you reference as it pertains to the free agents. And of course I was listening. What do you think I'm going to listen to? Music? Of course I was listening to the show earlier. Come on. I don't listen to damn music. I listen to Sports Talk Radio and podcasts. You know I was listening. I actually tweeted during your show about something you said. You're taking shots at Mutt. I mean, Yes. Come on. But anyway, you're completely right on this because of the fact
Ken
that...
The Ken and Curtis show.
You're completely right on this. And... I know that it has dominated most of the season. We talk about Raffy, and somehow JD's gone under the radar. But nonetheless, JD and Bogarts with the contracts. But that also, if Heimblum isn't going to get all those guys signed, then you should be doing everything you possibly can to win a World Series with the 2022 Red Sox. That's why I reference adding to the bullpen. And a guy out there, and Lou put it out there today, it was a good point, is a guy like David Robertson, who, yeah, he walks guys, but his strikeout rate is near 35%. You do everything you possibly can to do this year. And I think we do have some evidence of that, Robin. You know what that is?
What?
Brian Baio's up in AAA pretty damn quick. Walter's up in AAA pretty damn quick. So, yes, there are. And I do feel better in some sense that for the first time in a long time, Rob, it does feel
Like, there are internal reinforcements. And to sort of piggyback off my own point, I look at something that transpired last night in that game that I didn't think of it in the moment. And then I watch it. I'm like, wait, he wasn't in the lineup. So if you go back to that game last night, Bobby Dalback comes up and McFarland was in. Okay.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. That reminds me. Brian?
McFarland.
There you go.
But McFarland comes in, Rob. And what is McFarland? Okay, he's a soft-throwing lefty. He has nothing that goes north of 90 miles an hour. So Duran was in the leadoff spot to begin the game. And what does Alex Cora now have the luxury to do? Oh, Bobby Dalback's not playing because Franchy Cordero has shown us something this year. And so he's in the game. So then they pinch hit Bobby Dalback, and he comes up with a huge hit.
2 for 5 in pinch hits this year.
Yes, and that was a perfect time to pinch hit him because of the matchup. And that's something, Rob, even going back to the postseason last year, they really didn't have a bench. And if you start to look at what that potential playoff roster could look like, Bobby Dalback off the bench or starting, Franchy Cordero, and then you look at the Jarren Durans of the world, who obviously can give you something on the bases, and he actually looks better to me this year in the outfield than he did last year. And look, he'll make up for a lot of stuff if he doesn't get a good read because of his speed, but it does feel like internally they're in a much better place this year compared to where they were a year ago, which gives me the hope that Chaim Bloom will look at a certain position in the farm system and say, hey, we have a surplus, let's go get us a lockdown reliever, somebody that we can pitch late in games.
All right, so Iowa, and people can weigh in, 617-779-7937. Of course, we are thankful to fine friends at McFarland Energy for sponsoring the Bradfoe Show. And I want you guys to ruminate on this one, which is when the Red Sox hit the trade deadline with the team currently constituted, what is the thing, what is the place where you said, go out and get that? Because obviously we had been saying relief pitching, and that's easy. But, you know, maybe there's something else, because you do have some guys coming up. You do have maybe some solutions in that respect. So I want you guys to get creative, but I do want you to think about it. And while you're thinking about it, and we'll get to that after the next break, but I want to get back into the Trevor Story thing, not to put the dark cloud over the conversation. And you don't need to, because you just had a manager, as I said before, say that a guy was the absolute best in the major leagues at something. And that is Trevor Story. Alex Cora talking about Trevor Story being the best defensive second baseman. All right. I know that at risk of repeating yourself from last night after the game, Brian.
New audience,
this,
Rob.
Let's hear this audio, Rob. Why don't we throw it to this audio?
Oh.
Worth hearing again.
Okay.
I've been saying I play with some good defenders, and the combination of being quick and fast, not too many guys have that, and he gains ground, he does, and I know a lot of people have their doubts with the throwing part of it. It's been money, on the run, taking his time. There was actually, you know, he made all those plays, the one with men at third, I think it was, 2 hours in the fifth, you know, the backhand in the shift. For me, that was the toughest play of them all, because you have to be on point on the grass, get through it, and put in on money at first base. It's a routine play, but in that spot, it's not. And you know, turning little plays and talking to the guys, and I know it's been a grind for him, but he doesn't take a play off. And he's been, I mean, like right now, I can say that probably he's the best defensive second baseman in the big leagues.
Ooh.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it, Rob.
Well, I will say this, and before you go, before you talk about what you're going to talk about, when we talk about Trevor Story, and I said this looking at him in spring training, to me, he's a second baseman. To me, he's a really, really good second baseman. And I think in the perfect world for the Red Sox, this is maybe an obvious statement, but people maybe didn't realize what the dynamic would be. I think if you really want to pay money for the foundation of a team, there's nothing wrong with paying the money for the foundation of second base, shortstop, and third base with those three guys, keeping those three guys together. Usually I say don't allocate that much money. You can't run isolations for right fielders, all of that. But if you want to say, here's the middle of the order, here's the middle of the diamond, here's a really good infield, and by the way, Trevor Story is also making Xander Bogaerts better, I think that it's worth it.
No question.
I mean, and so anyway, go ahead, Brian. What do you got?
Well, so I was just going to say this. So first of all, there is a legit argument that Cora has. I mean, he's second in defensive runs saved among second basemen. He's had 7 defensive runs saved. The only guy that has more than him is the guy playing for the other team tonight in Edmund. So that's the only guy in the entire sport that has more defensive runs saved at second base than Story. If you look at the Red Sox as a total unit this year, they came into the weekend 5th in defensive runs saved. You know where they were last year, Rob? 18th.
Yes.
So, yes, he has definitely made a difference. And, look, we shouldn't take away from the internal improvement of Devers, who has been significantly better this year when last year, I mean, let's not avoid it. The guy was an absolute butcher. But he's been unbelievable defensively from where he was a season ago, and Story's been part of that. So there is truth to what Cora is saying. But I also think this, Rob. He came up with a big hit last night, even though, you know, it was a ground ball the other side of the shift. He did what he needed to do, made it a 3-1 game. He, A, knows that his guy is struggling, and, B, this is what Cora is so good at. He doesn't want Story to not feel the value he's bringing to the team from a defensive perspective. Think about when the slump started, Rob. How many times in the past week has Cora talked about the defense? He continually brings that up, and then he put the cherry on top of the sundae last night to talk about Story.
I can say that probably he's the best defensive second baseman in the big leagues.
Yeah, and when he, even when Story dropped that ball the outfield, I mean, there was no room for interpretation when Cora talked about that at both after the game and then the next day, which was
Duran's fault.
Jarren Duran is standing there. He's watching it. He has to know better. All of that. I mean, this was not even though Story was sort of camped under it, and he was you could hear him calling for it the whole way. But, you know, this was all about Jarren Duran missing that ball, not Trevor Story. So I'm totally with you in that respect. And, you know, we have that soundbite, and Cora said that last night. But earlier in the week, Cora was asked about the defense, the infield defense, and oh my goodness, I have not seen Cora light up like I did that day. When he was asked about that, he basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, oh, it was a great day to talk about this because my good friend Mark Simon writes for, ESPN.com or something, or he used to work at ESPN, and he wrote this story, this glowing story about how all the things that you're talking about, Brian, about how the Red Sox infield defense has improved. And Cora must have gone on for about like 7 minutes on this about this article that was sent to him, and Devers is improving, and Bogaerts is improving, and the different Story has made, and also the different the positioning, how that have helped the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. All of it. I mean, so yes. I mean, like, Cora's taking, number one, great pride in Devers' defense. Number two, he is saying that, hey, Bogaerts isn't as bad as everyone thinks. And number three, you're absolutely right. I mean, Trevor Story, he feels it. Like, he feels like that he understands, like, when the city comes down on a guy. And he saw it in April with a guy. And he's saying, this guy's too important to have, like, any doubts at all, so I'm going to prop him up. And he deserves to be propped up defensively. Offensively, it's another story.
Yeah, pun intended, right? But,
nah,
yeah, I look
at it. Can we put a moratorium?
Well, you're the one that said it. Did I say it?
No.
You said another story. Did I say it, Ken, or did Rob?
No, okay.
Ken Laird.
That was me.
That was him.
But I appreciate yours.
Can we do a power ranking of the best puns when it comes to Trevor Story? Anyway, go ahead, Brian.
Well, no, I just think, though, Rob, he's so calculated that he pointed it out all week, and then when we got to the point where Story did come up with a big hit last night, and maybe that's what gets him going, but we shouldn't underrate what he does defensively. And I also look at Story from this perspective, Rob, and maybe you disagree on this, so certainly push back if you disagree with this, but I believe it's one of my better takes. I believe the guy that wants Trevor Story here more than anybody else, I mean, excuse me, let me rephrase that. Okay, so this is one of my better takes of all time. So the guy that benefits...
There's a lot of hype for this take.
Okay, you're gonna say, whoa.
Wait, all right, hold on. You know what?
This
take has taken on such another life, so much anticipation that we can't give it right now. We have to wait till after the break. So what we're going to do...
Actually, good idea. Whoa. I like this.
So Brian's going to give this much-anticipated take. Maybe the best take of all time, according to Metric Man.
Well, look at my pinned tweet. That may be my best take of all time. At It's Brian Barrett, my pinned tweet.
Metric Man has the best take of all time. When we come back, we'll hear it.
Now, hold on, Bradfo. Before you go, can I get a little update from the Open? Boots on the ground, Bradfo.
Oh, okay.
How's the leaderboard?
The leaderboard is intact. How's the leaderboard? What are you talking about? How's the leaderboard?
No, there's been a change at the top of the leaderboard.
Oh, yes, of course. Let's see. 1 second. Yes. now you have four guys tied. Patrick Rogers, Scotty Scheffler, Aaron Wise, and my guy, Colin Morikawa.
And Morikawa just sliced one into the fescue on five. So in some trouble off the tee.
Can you spell fescue?
F-E-S-C-U-E.
Okay. All right. Then maybe you should give the updates.
You are at the country club.
I just gave you the update. At least
you have
I know
giant big screens there in the media center.
Patrick Rogers, Scotty Scheffler, Aaron Wise, Colin Morikawa, Will Zalatoris, Matt Fitzpatrick, both those guys, along with John Rahm and Hayden Buckley, they're the next. Oh, my goodness. It keeps on going. Our guy Joel Damon, he's in the three back as well. I mean, here's the takeaway.
This is going to be fun tomorrow, man. Like, this is a good leaderboard.
Here's the takeaway. It is tight. No one's running away with it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know I'm having fun here at the Open. Brian's having fun at Fenway with Coop. Ken's having fun wherever he is. We're all having fun. And the best part about it is that when we get back, we're going to get the Metric Man's best take of all time, according to Brian Barrett. All right, we'll be back after this.
WEEI, we are right back to the Bradfoe Show.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to the Bradfoe Show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Brian Barrett, Ken Laird, Coop, all the whole gang. And if you want to subscribe to the Bradfoe Show podcast, which is red hot, you know how I know it's red hot? We just been bought out, right, Ken?
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Yes, you have.
We have been bought out by the fine folks at 2400 Sports. We're making that move. Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
No!
Thank you.
It's really all thanks to Coop, wouldn't you say?
He's
done a great job.
I would absolutely
say that. We're big fish now, boys. We're big fish.
I would absolutely say that. I mean, and by the way, people love those last calls from Joe Castiglione. Like, Coop, you did a great job of filming, once again, Joe's last call. And all the comments, we need more of this, we need more of this. People love those. I don't know why, but people love them. They love them. Good job, Coop.
How could you not love Castig?
Joey
want to
see Castigs, okay?
All right, well, 617-779-7937. And when I say I don't know why, I know it. Castig is awesome.
Thanks for listening.
I guess I just, Joey C. the Big Cheese, I guess I'm spoiled because I get to see the excellence all the time. But like I said, 617-779-7937. You're going to want to probably weigh in after the Metric Man's red hot take here. He says it's the best of all time. Brian Barrett, the floor is yours.
Okay, Rob. So you're thinking to yourself, who benefits the most to re-signing Xander Bogaerts? Mm-hmm. Well, Rafael Devers. They're really good friends, and Bogaerts is almost like a big brother to Rafael Devers. Well, Alex Cora would love to have Bogaerts back, right? He's the leader of the clubhouse. We all know this. How about Chris Sale? Chris Sale came out before the season on the Greg Hill Show and said, we need to keep Bogey. So you think, okay, maybe it's one of those guys, but you know who it is?
We got to keep Bogey. We got to.
There we go. But you know who benefits the most, Rob?
Who?
Trevor Story. You know why?
Why?
Because if Trevor Story is here and Bogaerts is gone, Trevor Story's compared to Xander Bogaerts. If Trevor Story's here and Xander Bogaerts is signed, guess who has never compared to Xander Bogaerts the rest of his career? Trevor Story. And that's the neighborhood that Trevor Story wants to live in. And not to say that Trevor Story can't handle it, anything along those lines. But I almost, and it sounds uncouth, Rob, to say this about a guy that's making $140 million, but I almost in some way feel bad for the guy because he had a slow start, and part of that was because he had a child. He had to leave, of course, spring training. Then he has the slump. Then he has the whole thing where, oh, he didn't show up to the press conference when the guy was trying to hit down in the damn cage. He didn't understand he was supposed to talk to the media. And then we saw the other day he did the opposite of that. He talked to the media before going down. And then he had an issue as it pertains to his stomach, right? So he had a lot of things not go his way. But now it feels like him and Bogaerts, they have a really good chemistry out there in the middle of the infield. And if Bogaerts is here, we never have to look at, well, Chaim Bloom was replacing Xander Bogaerts with Trevor Story. No, it was just an addition to the club to help out the team. And Story's impact has been felt on the defensive side. Now, I'm not diminishing how poorly he's been at the plate outside of like 2 weeks, okay? I'm not diminishing that whatsoever. But I'm just pointing out the fact that if you sign Bogaerts, the big free agent you signed this past offseason, it helps him. That's why Bloom needs to sign Bogarts. It actually helps Story. Story's in a very bad spot if you don't re-sign Bogarts. Get it done.
All right.
I mean, is that unfair? All I mean, just think about this.
We're going to go around the room. All right. I'm going to give that take a 7 with voice inflection. I bump it up to a 7.5. Ken, what do you say?
Yeah, it's a 7. I mean, it was good. It makes some sense. I think it was a little too long-winded.
Yes, and I also think that it wasn't earth-shattering. Again, voice inflection up
to
7.5.
Who else has said it?
I have. Ken has. Coop has. Everybody said it. I mean, I don't think there's any mystery that the best scenario
I didn't get Coop's grade yet.
Oh, Coop, what do you got?
6.9. I have to be different on that.
Okay. I mean, see, I'm sorry, Metric Man, the fact is it's a good take, but it's a take that we has been on our radar, where I don't think Trevor Story wants to be the guy at shortstop. I don't think – who does want to be the guy? Of course you want to be a part of the equation. I don't think he wants to say, hey, you know what? I am the foundational player. No, I mean – and he shouldn't
be. I am the shortstop now.
Right. Well, he shouldn't be saying that. He shouldn't. Like, he is a good player. He is a very good player. But, you know, his feelings aside, Brian, do you really want Trevor Story replacing Xander Bogaerts at shortstop?
Did you just hear my take?
I did.
Yeah, yes. So no, I don't.
Right, no, but I'm just saying, like, actually as before, I mean, the fact is that he is a second baseman. To me, he's a second baseman. I haven't seen him, admittedly, I haven't seen a ton of him playing shortstop. I've seen him play shortstop, but I've obviously seen him a lot more this year than I ever have, and I've seen him as second baseman, his body type, his movements, all of it, his arm, he is a second baseman. And I'll go back to, and you're agreeing, I know I'm just repeating what you said, but that dynamic of Story, Bogarts, Endeavors, and I'll say this, here's a take for you. As we sit here in 2022, June 17th, while I'm sitting here at the country club, you're at Fenway Park, Ken is in parts unknown, okay? I'm going to say this. I think that by the time we get to this time next year, you will have Devers, Bogarts, and Story all signed up.
Boom! Wow. Now, is this an educated guess, or is this on information? Or a combo?
What's the platter. What's the difference?
Well, an educated guess is different than information you've gathered.
No.
Sourced information.
This is the feeling. This is putting the pieces together. Because I think that I don't know if you know this, but Trevor Story is signed up. So
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com reporting.
There you go. Exactly. You know what that was? Ken, do you know what that was from?
I don't.
Mike Napoli.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Mike Napoli was traded. Trevor Story is locked up. Xander Bogaerts, I think, really, really wants to stay. And if they win and he keeps producing, I think they'll value him more than they certainly are valuing him now, and they'll sort of meet in the middle. And then when it comes to Devers, I think if you keep Bogaerts here, Devers is, you know, obviously he's an unbelievable player. To me, I don't know how you don't – and you tell me if I'm full of hooey, Brian – I don't know with Devers how you don't just start at the Machado contract. I don't know, like, that's where you start. That's what you offer him, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's no
300
way
for 10.
No, well, I mean, that's the starting point, but he's going to get more, Rob. I mean, you could make a real convincing argument, and I have on several occasions. He's the best hitter in the sport right now. I mean, the home run that he hit in Seattle, or excuse me, in Oakland, was it in Seattle or Oakland to the opposite? It's last Sunday, yeah, so it would have been against Seattle.
Oakland.
I mean, that was it in Oakland?
Yes.
The one to left field?
Yes.
Okay, how did he hit that out? You heard that Alex Cora was talking to JD about it, and JD was saying, I don't know how he did that. That ball is out of the strike zone.
Yeah.
And he hit it out to left field. I mean, it's ridiculous right now. So, no, there's no chance they can let this guy go. And I am a little bit concerned that it's gotten to this point. And one of the good points that you've made on several occasions, actually, I think you reiterated this today, but the Mookie thing in terms of Mookie, what is it? He said the first contract offer was the toughest to pass up.
Yes.
Well, Devers was never offered that, right? No, he was never offered that type
insane.
Of deal.
That's insane.
Yes, I mean, how has he not been talked to until this offseason? I mean, that's right. You broke the story. You talked to him in the offseason about it at spring training. You said this is the first time. How? I mean, you could have got maybe an Alvarez-type deal. Who knows who agrees, who doesn't, right? Mookie didn't agree, but Bregman did. Well, Alvarez did. Maybe you could have gotten something done. Heck, Bogarts did.
Yeah, what was weird was the timing of that, which was, you know, I was told around when after Dombrowski gets let go, what is that, August of 2019? So Dombrowski gets let go. I was told by the higher-ups this is going to be a priority, talking to Devers about an extension. But then you hire Chaim Bloom in the offseason, and then that just goes away. So it must have been a Bloom philosophy, but it is baffling that it never happened. All right, anyway, we got to take a break. 617-779-7937. I want to pay off on this tease where I asked you guys before, now that we are entrenched in trade deadline talk with about a month and a half to go, and you know sort of where the Red Sox sit, where you feel like they're going to be in it. You have all these contracts. You feel like, okay, you know what? Here you go for it. And we also have a better idea what's waiting in the minor leagues. I want each of you to give me a guy that you want them to go after. And if you don't have a guy, then at least give me a position. 617-779-7937. Be back after this.